gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Happy Friday. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Comedian John Fugelsang joins us live in studio in all of hour three. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoy, voice deity Jim Ward, me, Stephanie Miller. You know, Chris, right off the top of the show is where we normally play news sound bites with the top stories.
Yes, we do.
Unless, of course, you were able to talk to the living embodiment of journalism.
Absolutely.
As you know, as an ex-Catholic, I don't really worship anymore except at the house of Candy Crowley.
Or Jack Cafferty.
Whom I worship as a god. It's sort of a temple of news.
Yes.
If only... What? Why?
What
Jim,
are the
who
odds?
Is it?
It's CNN senior political correspondent Candy Crowley.
Because of you, I could extend cocktail hour and not get sound bites, Candy Crowley.
Well, anything I could do to help the cause.
I appreciate that. By the way, you are looking great. I love that you have a new reddish tint to your hair. You are looking fabulous.
Thank you very much. You know, what's funny is the reddish tint to my hair is what happens when I'm ready for another dose of coloring, you know, because it gets lighter and lighter. And I'm getting all the tints going, oh, your hair is great. And I thought, I spend, like, all this money. It looks better when it's washing out of my hair.
I don't know what your mom is.
What's wrong with that?
See, I don't know what your mom is like, but every time I'm on TV, I'm like, Mom, how did I do? What did you think about that point? She's like, Steffi, what's happening with your hair?
And it's never like, oh, you look great. It's like, I don't really think that blouse neckline is that flattering on you.
You're like, but Mom, I'm Candy Crowley. I'm reporting on the summit with President... All right, never mind. So, what was your take on the Sotomayor hearings yesterday? She seems to be coasting on her way to confirmation.
Yes, she is, and I think that was clear, actually. I don't think she gained any Republican votes. I think those that were inclined to vote against her because they think she's too liberal on the bench are still going to do that. I think she could have lost some Republicans, depending on her answers. I don't think that happened. I think she will pick up some Republican votes. I thought she came across as very smart. I thought she...
Frighteningly,
you know,
so, yeah.
That Artful Dodger is a really good description here, because it's a shame in some ways. I know Jeffrey Toobin on our air, it's really, cranked on this like the whole time, which was, why can't we know how they feel about these issues and whether or not the issues of abortion or gay rights fit under the umbrella of the Constitution and what it means? And they can't, because Robert Bork told everybody what he thought and he didn't get confirmed. So yeah. Ever since then, they've tried very hard not to tell us anything, and she was great at it.
Yeah, she really was. And I think we can all rest easy that American jurisprudence does not rest on whether you bug Lindsey Graham or not. Whether anything you say bugs the hell out of him. That's not really how we base our decisions.
But I have to tell you something. He's also a really smart lawyer, and he's going to vote for her. I mean, I'm really convinced he'll vote for her. And he did due diligence on things that really did bother him. But he has – there's two points of view among Republicans or Democrats, and one is judicial philosophy, that if you do not agree with some of the rulings, you think they're too left of center or too right of center in the case of the Democrats, you can vote against them. There are others who think, listen, the president got elected, and those elections have consequences, and if this is who he wants, and they're qualified, then he should have who he wants, and that's where Lindsey Graham falls down. He's got problems with her, but you know what? She's obviously qualified. I think he'll vote for her.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, look, a lot of the Republicans were forced to say what everybody already knows, and that is her record is actually very moderate. She's not, you know, some kind of screaming liberal that they tried to portray her in the first couple of days.
Yes, and I think they were very uneasy, by the way, with some of the ads that went out from conservative groups that did not come out, and some of the things that were said by Newt Gingrich and others, and they really were uneasy up in the Senate Republicans at some of those strident things. So I think they made a real effort, and I know, talking to them, that what they didn't want to come across as is angry white men.
Well, that being said, let's review some of the horrible Republican racist faux pas of the hearings. Some Hispanic groups had the same reaction I did to Senator Sessions saying, you know, you heard that one exchange, right, where he said, so you didn't agree with this other fella who's also a Puerto Rican.
Right.
What, did you visibly wince between that and Coburn's Ricky Ricardo impression? You're like, oh, God. Oh, God.
Well, I have to tell you, the Ricky Ricardo got some explaining to do. Didn't bother me. I honestly don't. I can't imagine that was something that came out of him in some sort of racist way. She didn't take offense at it.
No, she's been a very good humor.
Yeah, she really. Well, actually, the first day I thought, wow, she never smiles. Second day, it was very clear that she was feeling more comfortable. By the third day, you know, it was. Well, I thought we were watching stand-up comedy. The whole committee was, you know, relaxed, and because they were, you know, obviously moving into the finish line.
Well, you know why? Because good comedy, Candy, is truth. And when Senator Sessions said Senator Leahy and I are going to go do the crack cocaine thing, I think we all were thinking that the last few days. Is Jeff Sessions high? And so he confirmed that for us.
My feeling was you have to share with the rest of the class. Watch 3 days of this.
Keep a little sugar for the press pool. Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying that I've certainly heard that comment and felt it myself, that I just felt there absolutely was an undercurrent of racism. I mean, when they kept bringing up Miguel Estrada, what is the point except that they share Hispanic heritage? You know, as Senator Feinstein said, it's like we didn't vote for him because he had no record for us to look into and he wouldn't answer any questions. But, you know, the Republicans, I thought that was such a naked sort of, look, we like Hispanic people, look at us. You know?
Well, I think that's how Democrats and certainly some of the Latino community looked at it. I have to tell you, the Miguel Estrada thing, most Republicans look at that really politically. And they say, look, they sat in the way of this guy's confirmation because they didn't like it that he was a conservative. They put a hold on that nomination for a year. He never got it. They are very, very bitter in that. And their point, as I saw it, and I looked at it, their point was, you've got a president out there who, when senator, had said judicial temperament and your judicial leanings should count when you go to cast your vote. So let's all remember that.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, let's all remember that you put a hold on this guy. And for a solid year, we tried to get him out of there. So it was a very sore point for them. But they added that he was, you know, obviously, I think they were very sensitive and didn't always react correctly to the idea that they were anti-Hispanic. And I'm sure that's why they threw them in. But Estrada is deeper.
Listen,
if
there could have been any better example of judicial temperament than her not leaping over that table and twisting Senator Sessions' pointy little leprechaun ears, I don't know what is.
Listen, let me just stand here in this other corner for a moment and say I thought Republicans accomplished what they set out to accomplish. I mean, look back at some of those hearings that we've seen, whether it was Justice Thomas Justice Thomas, Bork, Justice Roberts. Some of those things get really nasty, and there weren't nasty moments. There were kind of rude moments in this.
Yes.
But
and I don't think it was just Hispanics that saw it prejudiced, if you don't mind my saying. I think we're all wise Latina women now, in terms of, you know, just
about never to say that word again. That and stare decisis out of my
yes, exactly.
Yeah, I must say some of the moments were fairly eye glazing. Candy, let's move quickly. I know you probably got more important stuff to do, although I can't imagine what. But the healthcare debate. How do you think this is shaping up? I mean, it feels like, you know, they're making progress, and yet there's still a lot of politics that are going to be played, aren't there?
It is, and here's what I can't gauge now and why I can't tell you the answer to that question. We've seen over the past 4 or 5 weeks a slippage in the president's popularity nationwide. Not mm-hmm. I mean, look, he's still at 55-56%, so that's not to sneeze at. It had to come down at some point. Nonetheless, there is that. And then you have the fact that there are Democrats up on Capitol Hill, Senator Baucus yesterday saying the president's not being helpful here because he's ruled out all these ways to pay for health care. So you have Democrats kind of openly beginning to not like the way President Obama is dealing with health care. And then you have public opinion that shows that they are very, very worried about a deficit that is now over $1 trillion, and it doesn't even count the stuff we spent this year. So there is kind of a confluence of events. You also had that Congressional Accounting Office coming out saying, actually, we've looked at the president's plan, and it will make health care cost more. Well, this is, I mean, to me, this is kind of an explosion yesterday on the Hill, so I don't know where it's going.
We know Harry and Louise are back, except now they've both had catastrophic illnesses without health insurance, and they live in refrigerator boxes. So the debate has changed, I think, since the first one, hasn't it?
There's no question about it. The public yearning for something to happen about health care. There's going to be something. I guess maybe that's my more direct answer to you. Something will happen. Something will get passed. I don't know how close it's going to look to what they're talking about now, nor do I think it's going to be a sweeping sort of reform. But here's the problem for that for the White House, and that is that the president knows that it's unlikely that his popularity and his approval rating is going to stay this high throughout all 4 years of his term. It is also unlikely that next year he can get as much done because it's an election year for all of Congress. So
right.
He knows that the first year is when you go big.
Yep.
And he wants to go big. So I just have a feeling he's certainly not going to get everything he wants. I just don't know if he's going to get something as big as he wants.
Yep. Well, that's, we will, to be announced. Candy, you are no Glenn Beck, but you are a shining city on the Hill in terms of journalism.
Oh, thank you. I'm both counts.
Yeah. I don't think she knows how to take that, Stephanie.
I meant that in a... Thanks for taking time for us, as always, Candy. I appreciate it.
Well, it's always fun. Thanks.
All right. Thank you. Candy Crowley. There she is, the journalistic goddess that is Candy Crowley.
Who has never cried on TV as well.
No.
Oh, my God.
Who's heard the Glenn Beck tape? Okay.
Oh, my God. What
Glenn
did he do this time?
Losing his... talking to a caller about health care.
Yes.
I think I may do this today. I may emulate Glenn Beck. I may just go off on someone on health care.
And we are the only country in the world where leaders come from every other country to get health care when they can't get the right kind of health care in their own country. We have presidents. We have prime ministers. We have speakers of the parliament in Australia that can't get the prostate treatments and have to come to this country to get it. Get off my phone! Get off my phone, you little pinhead! You people don't care about the trillions. Get off my phone! I'm going to lose my mind today.
Oh, my God. Oh, that's
He's
great.
He's screaming like a little girl.
He really is.
Oh,
had you heard
boy.
That before?
I swear to God, this has just become he and Bill O'Reilly trying to out-crazy each other.
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, wow.
The deeply crazy Glenn Beck.
I'm asking you a logical question.
I'm giving you a logical answer.
You don't have logic.
Highly illogical.
You're right.
Where's your logic? What would you do? I'm asking you, what would you do to change this health care system for the better?
Get off my phone! Get off my phone! Get off my phone, you little finhead! Get off my phone! I don't care! You people don't care! I'm gonna lose my mind today!
You better pick your head up and put it back on your shoulders because we're throwing all over the ground right now.
Get off my phone! Oh, dear God. He is 10 kinds of crazy.
Get off my phone!
Listener Ken in Cleveland, thank you for that. This is delightful. Oh, my God. All right. 20 minutes after the hour. Back with the latest on the Sotomayor hearings from yesterday. Tinsel talk and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Are you having a party or something?
Non-stop.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 25 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. George and Tempe on the healthcare debate. Hello, George.
Hey, you know, you played that Glenn Beck tape, and my dog just jumped through the window.
Sorry, puppy.
That's scary. He's a good puppy. You know, there's something that people aren't talking about, and that is what the end cost to the user is going to be eventually in this whole debate. And I'm really happy that they're doing something. I'm happy that it's getting out of committee and it's moving forward. But, you know, there was a recent program that started in Howard County, Maryland, where they were charging people who were making around $50,000 a year $50 to $85 for an affordable plan, and only 90% of those people could afford it. So what's going to happen when – I've heard it's going to be 3 to 5 times that much, like close to $200 to $300 a month per individual. That's not affordable.
Under what plan are you talking about, George?
I'm talking about the new public health care options. They're talking – the estimates are that the plan's going to cost somewhere between $200 and $300 a month for individuals.
Uh-huh.
That's not affordable. So even though they're moving forward and they're making – they're making great strides.
I haven't heard a specific number like that, George. But...
Well, do you see what I'm saying? No one's talking about the numbers, but if you look at them, they're still not affordable. So what's going to happen? I mean, they're definitely doing great things. They're getting rid of the pre-existing condition, which is evil as all get out. But there's still a long way to go here.
There is.
A long way.
Well, you know, Chris Lavoy, who is the official wet blanket of the Stephanie Miller Show, just said before the break he doesn't think they're going to get health care done.
I don't think they're going to get it done this year.
No, I'm not quite that cynical about
Me
it.
Me neither.
But I think that if they're still
and George, if history is any guide, as you know, I'm normally right, and Chris Lavoy.
If they get something done this year, it is only going to favor the insurance companies and not the average consumer.
I disagree.
Well, the insurance companies are the ones that are pouring $1.4 million a day into lobbying effort, and what are we doing?
We don't have the resources to do anything.
Exactly.
They have all the profits. The average American consumer doesn't.
Yeah, which is exactly the point.
Exactly.
They're proving our point with the amount that they're able to spend on this debate.
Exactly,
yeah.
And that's the problem.
Have you seen the new Harry and Louise ad?
I have not seen it, but I was going to talk about that. It's...
Don't tax our soda pop. There it is now.
It's on CNN right now.
I just saw that last night. The not our soda ad.
The communists in Washington want to tax your soda for something called health care.
Not the fruit drinks, please.
Wow.
Oh, my God, there's a happy, wholesome family at a lake vacation, which who can afford that these days?
Yeah, that's about the only... camping is about the only things people can afford.
Permanent camping.
Yeah.
We're out here on a lake, slowly dehydrating because they're trying to tax our fruit drinks! Yeah, is that hilarious? The guy's, like, breaking the wood over his knee in a campfire. And it's all about protecting the drinks.
Pulling ourselves up by our bootstraps and chopping wood, doing American stick
American
kind of
stuff. There's us white people here fishing at the lake with our kids drinking fruit drinks.
Sody pop.
Yeah.
But those commies want to take away our fruit drinks.
And that ad is from the American Food and Beverage Association, another lobbying group.
Uh-huh.
All right. 28 minutes after the hour, back with Tinsel talking more on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Once again, something wonderful in my life has been turned into a giant crap fest.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Rick in St. Paul, Minnesota, on the healthcare debate. Hello, Rick.
Hi, Steph. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was thinking somebody should tell Glenn Beck that because world leaders come here for health care, that means we have the best health care for millionaires.
Yes, exactly.
Thank you.
For whom money is no object.
Proving our point exactly. Thank you. You're the smartest boy in class. All right. Get off my phone! I just wanted to try it out. Okay.
Some people are setting that as their ringtones.
That's brilliant.
Oh, Lord. All right. Speaking of scary ads, like the one where they're coming for your fruity-flavored sugary drinks...
Whatever.
Soda pop is as American as high fructose corn syrup. But in Washington, they want to tell you what to drink, what to eat, and whether or not you can have health care.
High fructose corn syrup is making you fatter and more American every day.
You're a communist if you don't want your sugary drinks. Okay, here's the second
obesity
scare.
Obesity is an American right.
I finally found a story scarier than the healthcare ads.
What?
Jumbo squid invade San Diego. Oh, no. Oh. Jumbo flying squid.
Flying squid?
Yes. Sea monsters with razor-sharp beaks and toothy tentacles have invaded the shallow waters off San Diego. The calamari, which can grow up to 100 pounds, came up from the depths last week, and swarms of them roughed up unsuspecting divers. Some divers report tentacles enveloping their masks and yanking at their cameras and gear.
They can kill you. They actually can pull you down.
Not if we get to them with a wedge of lemon and
some... the giant squid you can't eat. They're full of ammonia. Yeah, they're totally
inedible.
That's
no fun.
That's defense against
even with
eaten.
Cocktail sauce?
Jeez, I'm headed to San Diego this weekend. I better watch out for flying
squid. Look out for the giant squid!
You're...
Okay.
Huh?
All right.
Huh?
Sorry. Donald Trump got in there somewhere.
Donald Trump's coming up in a little bit.
He's going to get into my tinsel talk as well. Oh, no. Well, let's check some entertainment news.
There's no business like show business.
It's time for Tinsel Talk. Let's find out what's going on in Hollywood with Stephanie Miller.
Thank you very much. Our top story, why, looky there. Embarrassing court loss for the Donald. Donald Trump's bid to silence an author who claims the developer is worth far less than the billions he claims was dealt a major blow after a New Jersey judge tossed out the case yesterday.
That's
Trump...
huge.
Huge.
Huge. Those squid, you know, are huge.
Huge squid.
The Apprentice star had sued author Timothy O'Brien for libel after his book Trump Nation, citing anonymous sources. Sources claimed Trump was worth between $150 million and $250 million. Oh, how dare he! Not the $5 to $6 billion that Trump himself asserts. Judge Michelle Fox, a chick judge again.
Oh boy.
Made a verbal ruling tossing out the KC, Donald's reality.
Actually, we have Judge Michelle Fox.
Good. Yes. Oh, fabulous.
Mr. Trump, after considering the facts of the case long and hard, a condition the court believes you left behind years ago, we have come to the conclusion that your case is one of the most craptacular we've been unfortunate enough to hear. How we, as a jurist and a woman, value your net worth is clearly not what goes on under that small animal pelt you seem so proud of. You claim your worth fluctuates from day to day according to different circumstances, including your feelings. Once again, as a jurist and a woman, we have feelings about your worth as well, and those feelings can be summed up as ick. How you manage to seduce investors and women is something beyond the ken of this court. Why anyone would want to fluct with you, either financially or otherwise, will remain as deep a mystery as a species of skull merkin you're presently wearing. Your character also comes up short, as well as your other attributes. Your constant references to your daughter as Racktastic, your wretchedly tasteless Chump Tower and Mar-a-Lamo personal residences, and your hobby of serial bankruptcy, coupled with your Queen's accent, you don't bring that to New Jersey, pal, leads this court to the only judgment possible. You're fired.
And finally, the headline is Demi Moore and Ashton Kutcher had a James Bond-themed anniversary holiday. The couple recently jetted off to the Ocean Club Resort in Barbados, where scenes from Casino Royale starring Daniel Craig as the British spy were shot to mark the 6th anniversary of their first date. A source said they wanted to live out a fantasy of being Mr. and Mrs. Bond, and the Ocean Club is the natural choice as it's the venue where Daniel Craig won an Aston Martin in a game of poker in Casino Royale. I believe Sir Sean Connery had some thoughts on this.
It seems Ashton Kutcher and his wife, decided to spend their anniversary playing dress-up and indulging in their Bond fantasy. I do hope that included reenacting the scene where Daniela Craig was tied naked to a chair having his bollocks whipped with a knotted rope. I'd put it up on YouTube and bookmark it or whatever it is this spacey-facey book space page generation do these days. Kutcher had better watch himself. He's getting a wee bit long in the tooth at 31. It's only a matter of time before his cougar goes on the prowl for fresh meat. I bet she's as insatiable as Ursula Andress was all those many years ago. She was in a perpetual state of Andress when I had to go at her honey rider during Dr. No. I don't recall the word no ever escaping her lips. It was always yes, yes, yes. Of course, she was dealing with a real man. She wouldn't have given the time of day to a wet-behind-the-ears pipsqueak like young Ashton. Look out, laddie. A troop of Cub Scouts just moved into the hotel. Looks like you've got competition. Your elderly man-eater just might decide to rub some sticks together and have her own weenie roast while you're watching cartoons and playing Nintendo. I'm not sure.
That's all for Tinsel Talk. I'm here all week. Tell your friends if you'd like more Jim Ward falderall.
Jim Ward's apocryphal but true. There's a Thailand on the Stephanie Miller website. That'd be stephaniemiller.com. Buy the album. Why?
What would happen if it were apocryphal but false? Would there be a rip in the space-time continuum?
I think so.
Okay.
There'd be crop circles galore.
Well, there already are.
Well, yeah, it's true.
Okay.
The 2-year marriage of Amy Winehouse and Blake Fielder Civil came to not actually a very civil end. Came to an end in a courtroom in London Thursday. Fielder Civil was granted a divorce from Winehouse in a hearing that lasted all of 75 seconds, which was 15 seconds longer than their marriage.
Yeah, I was about ready to say, didn't they just get married? And weren't they in Lerv?
It lasted that long.
He must have sobered up or something.
Because Amy Winehouse admitted adultery.
Oh, really?
Did you do it?
Yep,
I did. Yep, okay.
Was she sober?
On the wedding night, probably.
All right. Jim, this is going to be fodder for conspiracy theorists about the moon landing. NASA lost the moon footage, you know that, right?
Yeah.
But Hollywood has restored it. NASA could put a man on the moon, but didn't have the sense to keep the original video of the live TV transmission. Oh, dear. In an embarrassing acknowledgement, the space agency said they must have erased the Apollo moon footage years ago so it could reuse the videotape. What kind of budget are they on over there?
It must have been the Reagan budget. They slashed NASA's budget.
I think we should get rid of all the films that they made on that soundstage.
Oh, dear. They taped over. It's like they taped over the honeymoon footage with the Super Bowl or, you know.
Whatever.
But it wasn't the entire film of Apollo 11.
I don't know.
No, I think it was just the
Hollywood is coming to the rescue. The studio wizards who restored Casablanca are digitally sharpening and cleaning up the ghostly, grainy footage. So it's exactly like the original, except that Humphrey Bogart is in it for some reason.
All the planets.
What the hell is he doing there next to Buzz Aldrin?
All the satellites of all the planets in the solar system. You came into mine.
They are doing They are doing it by working from four copies that NASA scrounged from around the world. I love that. NASA to call anybody. Anybody got the? You got the? You know, remember the what? First time the man walked on the moon? You got that? Anybody?
Wasn't that broadcast on like every television station in the known world at the time?
Yeah.
Why didn't those stations have copies?
Well, apparently they did. They must have
scrounged up four.
Yeah.
But it was on every station.
I don't know.
Something smells fishy about this. I smell conspiracy.
they did fake the moon landing.
No.
42 minutes after the hour. Right back with the latest on the Sotomayor hearings yesterday as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
That laughter sounds like the result of misbehavior.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 46 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Andrew in Australia, you're calling all the way from Australia.
Bonza.
Yeah, how you doing?
Good day.
But I'm not the prawn and the baby.
Oh, stop it.
All right, stop it. Hello, Andrew.
Yeah, stop it. That's called profiling, by the way.
Yes, it is.
I just wanted you to know that what Glenn Beck said about our Prime Minister or our Speaker of our Parliament coming to your country to get some kind of surgery is an absolute crock. Okay, we have a developed country here with a great hospital system, and would you believe we've got a public option down here?
What?
Okay. What?
Funny about that. Okay, and this guy is trying to say that we're some kind of third world country sending our prime minister up there to get surgery. Give me a break. Okay, our health system is many times no offense, but many times better than yours.
Oh, yeah. Oh listen, that's not saying much, but don't worry. No offense taken.
Unfortunately. unfortunately, it isn't saying much. And all I can think back to is what Whoopi Goldberg said about Glenn Beck. He's a lying sack of dog mess. He really is.
Yes, he is.
Well said. The international language. A lying sack of dog.
I think that black's mad as a cut snake.
Yes, or, huh? Or as we would say.
You're a lying sack of crap.
Yes.
You're a lying sack of crap. You're a lying, scheming, stinking, nasty sack of liquid crap.
Maria in Chicago on Glenn Beck as well. Hello, Maria.
Hi. I'm a first-time caller. I love your show.
Thank you.
But my eight-year-old was in the car with me. I was dropping him off at summer school, and we heard the Glenn Beck tirade, and he immediately said, "Who is this guy? I want to whack him in the head."
He needs a timeout, whoever he is, right?
He needs a timeout, and he realized, and he also said, he's like, why does he get to talk like that? He realizes that he's not allowed to talk to people like that, and then Glenn Beck and Bill O'Reilly try to bring themselves off as, you know, how you should raise your children and you know
yeah, to have the same to have the same anger management problem they had when they were five. That's how you should raise your children.
Right.
He's like, how come I get a timeout when I act like that, and this guy gets millions of dollars to do it on TV?
Right. Not necessarily a great role model.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right. Thank you, Maria. Appreciate it. Tim and Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on the healthcare debate as well. Hi, Tim.
Good morning, Steph.
Good morning, baby.
You know, I look at it like this way. Watching Freak News, Fox.
Yes. Fox and Freaks.
You know, they're talking about how we're going to have experts deciding, you know, if we need this pill or not.
And that is a complete load of dog.
Well, not mess. Only is it a complete load of crap, but don't we pretty much have that now?
Yep.
I'm allergic to aspirin and acetaminophen. I can't have aspirin. I can't have ibuprofen. You know, I can't take that stuff.
Wow.
I get the good stuff right off the bat.
Woo-hoo!
Let me just say you're lucky you don't get menstrual cramps, my friend.
Oh, no kidding. Oh, but maybe...
Because I would kill you for ibuprofen at certain times of the month.
Well, you know, my insurance looked at me and told me, no, you have to have that generic medication. I'm like, I can't. It has aspirin in it. They're like, well, we're not going to cover your other stuff. I'm like, so if my liver shuts down again,
and yeah, do you cover that
for a month and a half, and my bill's going to be $280,000 because I am in the ICU again, you're going to cover that, but you won't cover $55 for the medication? And they said yes.
Wow.
Wow.
They would cover me for being
you're like,
hospital.
Let me get this straight. What are you, John? You what? You cover organ failure, but not. Not the kind of medicine I need.
Medication.
Yeah,
and you know,
no
I don't understand where Fox News is saying that a bureaucrat and a penny pusher is going to decide your health care.
That's what
we
have now.
Already have that.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. No, I told the story too. The my old insurance company I had wouldn't pay for Prevacid. I have acid reflux. They're like, you know, take a Tums.
Yeah,
what?
Exactly.
No, that doesn't work for me.
It doesn't. I mean, I don't think a lot of people. I think the people on the right. They don't get it. I think that they hear it's it's socialist and you're going to have a bureaucrat deciding your medication. It's like that now.
Thank you, Timmy.
Get over it.
Yep. Thank you, Timmy. Corey in Oklahoma, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome on the moon footage. Hello, Corey.
Yes. What happened was the lander landed and taped and high-resolution videotape, okay? And then that was sent back to Australia and California where it was turned into a signal that could be broadcast on normal television, okay? Losing quality.
Okay, so there was a generational loss there.
So what was lost was the original tapes that were on the lander, and that's the ones they want so that they can redo them and make them really good, which they think they can. So that's what was lost. Everybody still has the grainy stuff.
Right.
Yeah, it looks like my original Evening at the Improv. So, you know, you remember that. It just it was a certain you would lose a generation every time you dubbed it.
No, I think it was just your hair.
No, you were really that ugly.
Yeah.
Your nose was really that big.
You need to search that out on YouTube, people.
The old nose is blocking out the rest
hysterical.
Of the face.
I mean, my old nose is blocking out the sun.
Yeah, search for Stephanie Evening at the Improv or something. Yeah.
Hi, Kev.
You get great Katharine Hepburn jokes.
Kevin in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Yeah, NASA later this year, this one's for Jim's conspiracy theory,
is
planning a kinetic explosion on the south pole of the moon between 2 and 3 megatons. Is that to cover the landing site with dust so that when somebody does a flyby in the future, they can't see the old modules?
Why are they going to blow up the moon?
They're going to do a test to see if there's a water on the south pole by having another satellite go and collect the dust so they can examine that.
Right. Take pictures of it. But the one thing that I've been reading about that's interesting is that for 40 years now they've been monitoring through radar, or maybe it's lasers. I think it's lasers. The distance between the moon and the Earth from the instruments we left there. They abruptly stopped doing that about when they were proposing sending this missile. So a lot of people are theorizing that maybe the moon's orbit is decaying.
Wow.
And this is going to be an attempt to push it out a little further.
Since it's Friday, want to do another scary science story?
Sure.
Okay, everybody, turn the flashlight up. Pull the covers over your head. After giant squid.
Flying squid.
Flying squid and the moon tape. There are big blobs of mystery goo floating off the Alaskan coast.
I saw that.
Something big and strange is floating.
I'll get that to ya.
Hunters first started noticing the stuff sometime probably early last week. It's thick and dark and gooey and is drifting for miles in the cold Arctic water. Something big and strange, it's Sarah Palin's ego.
I'll try to find you some and I'll bring them to you.
The U.S. Coast Guard found globs of the stuff floating miles offshore and collected samples for testing. Nobody knows for sure what the gunk is. It is certainly biological, one Coast Guard guy said. It's definitely not an oil product of any kind, though.
Probably just a big chunk of algae.
You don't know what it is.
What?
I think with the global warming, the oceans are getting more acidic, so maybe it's...
Floating giant Putin head is starting to melt or something and seep into the ocean.
They shot down the Putin head from Alaska.
That's probably what it was. Yeah. Okay, Carmen in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania on healthcare. Hi, Carmen.
Hey, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
Okay, when I was in New Zealand, I was playing field hockey and the ball hit me in the head.
Oh.
And I was bleeding everywhere. I went to the hospital. I waited 5 minutes. They took me in, did x-rays, fixed me all up. I paid $55 New Zealand, which was $25 American.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
For a gushing head injury. Wow.
Exactly. And with x-rays.
What's that?
And x-rays as well.
Wow. Wow.
So I don't know what these people are talking about. I don't know why we're so scared about changing our health care system.
Did they feed you fish and chips? Warheim on a season 6-7?
I haven't heard of a good field hockey injury in quite some time. All right, let's Gordon in Illinois, you're on the...
Yeah, hi. Yeah, the CBO report yesterday, I thought that was a great opportunity. I think it's another brilliant stroke. Obama knows that we are going to get reform, but not the massive legislation that Republicans keep screaming about socialism. So what's going to happen is with this, the report, signaling that it's going to actually be probably double, if not triple, the amount initially stated, we would essentially go bankrupt. It's a great move because we will get a decent reform. It'll get ramrodded through. Obama can claim victory. And as you see, the markets, I think, caught a whiff of this. Everything's great. Obama, we're marching forward, my friends, and this is a great poker move. CBO, thank you very much.
Oh, okay. All right. He'll take no further questions,
no,
Chris.
Okay.
Or listen to any of your negativism. Negativism.
Negativism. You need a drink.
Thank. Sue in Rockville, Maryland. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show on our friend Glenn Beck. Not technically, because that would be gross. Hello, Sue.
Hey, happy Friday. I think Mr. Beck, is that the sound that screeching he made with his botched ass surgery?
Yes, that I was going to say, I remember that video.
I thought he was all for health care reform at that point.
Yeah, but apparently, the moment you have your ass surgery botched, you're all in that you're a socialist.
Yeah, that screaming really just hurts my ears. And I have to tell you, my 2-year-old granddaughter doesn't have tantrums like that.
The baby that you brought to the bar to see us in
the... Yeah, the baby actually uses her words. And then when she's banished from restaurants temporarily. Mm. But so should Glenn Beck.
Exactly.
Look at you! You have a baby! In a bar!
All right, thank you, Sue. By the way... What?
What? No.
Oh, I have, because we always talk about how the three of us are childless losers.
Yes.
Oh, and we asked Linda Sanchez yesterday whether she got our baby crap from the baby gap that we sent her. Because we didn't know what to send because we don't know babies.
We sent a chainsaw.
Yeah, we didn't know. Baby's first nunchucks.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I have a friend that's worse than I am. She's a friend from college coming with a 2-year-old.
Right.
And she's like, what do babies do? And when you know when someone refers to as it, they're not good with babies.
No.
What does it do? And what does it eat? And what do you do with it? All right. We should have asked Linda Sanchez those questions. 57 minutes after the hour. Back with stand-up news and more on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show. I'm walking on sunshine.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Happy Friday, everybody. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2.
What was that?
I don't know. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere to join the party. Comedian John Fugelsang joining the party live in studio all next hour. Stay tuned for that. Always brilliant. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, me, Stephanie Miller. This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by Pontiac. The Pontiac Summer Closeout is here. Hurry to get the Pontiac you want before they're gone, like the 09 G6, the powerful G8, or the 5-door Pontiac Vibe. Visit PontiacDealer.com. Take delivery by 7/31/09. See dealer for details. Thank
Hooray!
You. Okay, Sonia Sotomayor, speeding toward confirmation, and I think we finally, speaking of confirmation, we finally got confirmation of what we've all been thinking all week, and that is that Senator Jeff Sessions was high.
I don't think any member of this side will support a filibuster.
Oh, that wasn't the one I meant. I meant the next one. Senator Jeff Sessions, Republican of Alabama, yesterday at the hearings.
During these hearings, we're going to do that crack cocaine thing that you and I have talked about before.
Okay, at least there's an explanation. Maybe he's only racist when he's high. Okay.
No, he's racist all the time.
And Bill O'Reilly. Doing a little more fear-mongering on health care before.
President Obama's vision is a giant federal apparatus funded primarily by affluent Americans.
Ooh.
That's not going to work.
Oh.
The expense is simply too great.
Oh.
Punitive taxation will not be able to pay the bills.
Mm-hmm.
And the USA could very well go bankrupt just as California has.
Oh, scary, Bill, scary.
I think there's a little truth in what he's saying.
Don't be Thule. StephanieMiller.com is the website. The calendar section, check it out. Mama will be in San Francisco next weekend for Girls Night Out, our event with our fabulous Green 960 station there in San Francisco. That's next Saturday, July 25th, and then Saturday, August 8th, will be Seattle Town Hall. It's the wildly popular Town Hall event with me and Tom Hartman and Bill Press and Mike Malloy and Ron Reagan. Come see us in Seattle.
Yeah.
You can find out how to get tickets for all of that on the under the calendar section.
Well, I've gotten a few emails saying, where is the calendar section? You have to go to the show section first, and then look for the calendar of events, and all the information will be right there.
There you go. Mm-hmm. You know what? Maybe I'll bring my puppies Max and Oliver, because guess what? All Pet Airways has hit the sky.
Max! Oliver!
Pet Airways has just launched. Have you heard about this? Pet Airways is booked for the next 2 months. It's it's an all pet airway. They are.
Do they allow people on it?
No, that's the thing I don't like about it. You can't fly with your pets. Only the pets fly, but they fly in the cabin, in the cages, and the whatever.
Whatever.
They are flying between 5 major cities: New York, Washington, Chicago, Denver, and Los Angeles. And they fly in the main cabin there. I don't know if there's a first class or whatever. But the problem is you can't go with them, I guess. And a trip from New York to L.A., for example, takes 24 hours. They have to stop in Chicago, have bathroom break, and spend the night, and then they go the next day. And I want them in the cabin with me and free drinks. That'll be my dream airline. All right. Chris, have I ever mentioned that I believe that the children are the future? I believe that I have mentioned that.
I believe the children are the future. Teach them well.
Yes.
Let them lead the way.
Kate writes, Steph, you are my 5-year-old's favorite. That is my sweet spot, as you know. She does her own news broadcast and usually ends it by announcing that she is Stephanie Miller or Rachel Maddow. If she wants to be successful, I'd go with Rachel Maddow. I wouldn't. Thanks for being such a great role model. Oh, well, if she wants to have a successful career, I would go with Rachel Maddow. If she wants to learn how to sing this, I'd go with the Stephanie
you
Miller.
Yay!
That is so cute.
If you want your child to be a potty mouth with no future, then I would go with
Stephanie Miller.
All right. Oh, isn't that cute? Little junior Stephanie Miller and Rachel Maddow's out there. Oh, just precious. All right. Let's check some news we don't want to lose, shall we, kids? Here we go.
Yippee, yippee, it's time for stand-up news. And now, here's anchorperson, Stephanie Miller.
Thank you, and news breaks here at Stays Broken, our top story. California tax officials say legal pot would bring in $1.4
billion.
A bill to tax...
Are you high?
Mm-hmm. Jeff Sessions likes to share. A bill to tax and regulate marijuana in California like alcohol would generate nearly $1.4 billion in revenue for the cash-strapped state, according to an official analysis released Wednesday by tax officials. We have the governor on this.
By now, you've probably heard about the budget shortfall and the cutting of the services and the IOUs and these kinds of things and the closing of the parks and the throwing of the poor people into the wood chipper and the raising of the taxes. So now we are talking about the legalizing of the pot, the ganja, the chronic, so we can tax the wacky tobacco, the Mary Jane, the kiff, the Indiana ditchweed, some of the smoking of the doobies and the blunts. I just made California $1.4 billion richer. Now I'm hungry for the Doritos and the Cheetos and the Tostitos and the Eisbein and the Weisswurst and the Sauerbraten and the Schweinfoxe and the Spätzle. Spätzle. Maria doesn't approve of the ham. Maria, you are hitting me with the frying pan and I can't even feel it. Oh, most heinous and things of this nature.
That's all for Stand Up News. I'm here all week. Tell your friends if you'd like more Jim Ward, Paul DeRoll.
Jim Ward's apocryphal but true.
Yeah.
Check the tile ad on the Stephanie Miller website, stephaniemiller.com, and buy the album, why don't you?
Mm-hmm. Chris, would you like some time now to expand on your Thule statement agreeing with Bill O'Reilly?
The
healthcare plan won't work and we can't tax the rich people. It'll make the U.S. go bankrupt?
I don't think there's enough support for it. Blue dogs are peeling away.
Mike in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hello, Mike.
Hi, everyone. I just wanted to bring up a point that no one seems to be talking about. People don't realize how little time there is left to pass any bills in Congress. After the August recess, they're going to be coming back, and then they start their campaigning for the 2010 election.
Well, which is why, you know, the president obviously is saying we need to get this done, because that's the problem. Well, you know, then, are you kidding? Then it gets even more political.
Besides health care, I think the three groups that pretty much have been ignored by this administration that could come back and bite them are the anti-war activists, the Gay and Lesbian Alliance, and all the people who want to see the Bush administration in The Hague.
Yeah.
I think between those three groups, I honestly believe the Dems could take a huge hit in 2010.
I think so.
If any of these groups don't have a bone toss to them, you know?
Yep, I hear you. John in Jacksonville, Florida, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, John.
Ah, good morning, ladies and gentlemen.
Good morning.
And you too, Stephanie.
Good morning. You what?
I said good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and you too, Stephanie.
Oh, isn't that precious? All right, go ahead.
I have a daughter. I hope she learns a lot from you. I am frustrated because even though this seems to be an obvious question among my friends, I've never heard a reporter or a national broadcast ask an elected official if they're on the public dole as far as their health insurance, because you know they are.
Yeah.
They don't ask the lobbyists or the companies that support their campaigns to put them on their health care program. They say it costs too much. I'm a hardworking American for the last 25 years, 45 years old. I take great care of myself because I have to. I work hard, and I've been lucky that I have continued to work, and I make a good salary. But health care costs are out of control. I hope every American will get on their phones today and call their elected officials and ask them, are you taking the public government health care that is offered to you? And if you are, then why don't you make that available to me so I can have health care and focus on what I want to do, which is be creative and productive and not worry about being sick.
Yep, I hear you, honey. I think it's one, I forget the guy's name, the congressman. One has given up his public health care until everybody gets it.
But, yes, that is true.
I don't think there's been a stampede of any kind, has there?
Unfortunately. No, there hasn't.
Congress critters giving up their news? No.
There's too much money out there
for
the insurance companies.
So Sonia Sotomayor sped toward confirmation as the nation's first Hispanic justice yesterday, encouraged by Republican promises of a quick vote and cheered on by a Democratic senator's challenge to take on the Supreme Court's conservative wing when she arrives. I agree. Arlen Specter, the newly minted Democrat, said, battle out the ideas you believe in because I have a strong hunch that they are closer to the ones that I would like to see adopted by the court. Republicans expressing concern that she would bring bias to the court gave Frank, am I saying this name right, Ricci. The firefighter whose reverse discrimination claim was rejected by Sotomayor and two other appeals court judges, which, how many times must this be said? She voted with the majority of her panel, and by the way, the Supreme Court, it was 5-4.
Right.
So four Supreme Court justices agreed with her on how that you had to respect precedent in this case.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
It was the Supreme Court that was being an activist court.
He declined when given the chance to say Sotomayor's nomination should be rejected, however. He was also there with Lieutenant Ben Vargas, a Hispanic firefighter who was also part of this this same case. Neither man voiced opposition to her confirmation. Vargas, in fact, identified himself as Hispanic and congratulated the judge, who would be the High Court's first Hispanic. That might have blown up in the Republicans' face a little bit. That might have.
Yeah.
All right, Sonia Sotomayor yesterday at the end.
Senator, would you want a judge or a nominee who came in here and said, I agree with you, this is unconstitutional, before I had a case before me, before I had both sides discussing the issue with me?
You know, they did the same thing. You know, Chris, every time I'm on TV, I am always, the right-wingers always pose these hypotheticals.
Yes.
That you get, you're not even sure how you can argue a thing that's not even really something that's happened.
If Madonna had been a giant squid. And
yes.
And was flying over San Diego.
Yes, that's what the argument that I'm always
posed. People in ovens. Then.
Yes.
Would you agree that torture is good?
Yes. So, that's what they kept doing to her, right?
Yes.
Posing these, you know, okay. And so I think that was she answered correctly a lot of that. Like, you know, she'd get that sort of slightly befuddled look. Well, I can't really. That's not.
Yes. She truthfully said that, you know, she doesn't know all the facts of the case as it pertains to the law, and she hasn't heard both sides of it, so she can't render a judgment on it.
Right. Right. If you were, say, pregnant with a giant squid that had spina bifida, and you were both on a train traveling to Chicago, it was questions like those that she was rightly a little. Here is our friend, our buddy, our pal, Senator Al Franken. I said, Senator. Al Franken.
What was the one case in Barry Mason?
Well,
Berger won.
I wish I remembered the name of the episode, but I don't. I just was always struck that there was only one case where his client was actually guilty. And
you don't remember that case?
I know that I should remember the name of it, but I haven't looked at the episodes.
Didn't the White House prepare you for for that?
You're right, but I was spending a lot of time on reviewing cases.
Okay.
That was funny.
It was funny.
Yeah. Cracked her up.
Not as funny as Tom Goldberg's Ricky Ricardo impressions. Did he do any other impressions yesterday?
Yeah,
no?
he did Carrot Top.
But I love that you're doing your job, and I love that I'm doing my job as a judge. I like mine better.
I think I would like yours better as well. although I doubt that I could ever get to the stage of a confirmation process.
Me neither, because there's that woman you sterilized without her consent in Oklahoma when you were a doctor.
Oh, well, you know, I was young, I was drunk.
Oops, yeah. Did I tie those things together? I'm sorry.
You know, we talked to Candy Crowley last hour, and she said that, you know, everybody got loosened up as the days went on in the Sotomayor hearings. Even Tom Coburn was having a chuckle with her yesterday.
Yes, Jeff Sessions was high and giggly. 20 minutes after the hour, back with more crunchy audio goodness from the Sotomayor hearings as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
What in the name of holy hell is going on here?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Jim in Aurora of the Sotomayor hearings. Hello, Jim.
Hi, Steph. Hi, Mooks. Love your show.
Thank you.
I just want to point out that when the, for 3 days, the Republicans were ragging on about how empathy has no place in the law and she should just follow the law, then they bring on these firefighters for this, as if she should have, she lacked empathy because for not feeling for the plight of these firefighters who worked so hard to get there. So it was like total hypocrisy on the part of the Republicans.
Well, yeah. I mean, that was a little bit of a dog and pony show because, you know, this obviously was not about her, you know, discriminating. It was just about respecting precedent and the law, which is exactly what they've been trying to say she doesn't do all week. So, you know. Pardon me.
Are you okay?
Yes, I'm fine now. Senator Tom Coburn, Republican of Oklahoma and Sotomayor.
My constituents in Oklahoma understand, as most do Americans, that their right to own guns hangs in the balance.
I can assure your constituents that I have a completely open on this question.
What? Open mind. Open mind, she said, I believe.
Sorry. Little hiccup.
See, this is more of this fear-mongering that's going on the right. They're coming to get your guns. Your right to own guns hangs in the balance. No, it doesn't.
It doesn't. Confused says no.
Okay.
Who would be authorized to come take your guns?
Nobody.
Obama.
How will they do it?
One of these idiots that shooting? That shot up, I don't even remember which one now, which right-wing wacko shooting incident it was recently, but that was, you know, one of the things he said, oh, Obama's coming to get our guns.
Mm-hmm.
This is because it's not like, you know...
And so he gave people a reason to take guns away from
Right, that's
like
my
him.
Point. It's not like... Exactly. It's not just lunatic fringe. This is a United States senator.
That's right.
Basically on the floor during a confirmation hearing is saying, oh, our right to own guns hangs in the balance. What a...
You're a lying sack of crap.
Yes, he's a liar.
Fairmonger much?
Yeah, if you're clinically insane... Or a felon, yeah.
Yeah.
They might,
or you
try
listen
to keep you...
too closely to things that John Cornyn says. That,
yeah.
Then perhaps. All right. Senator John
what
Cornyn.
What should I tell my constituents who are watching these hearings and saying to themselves, she says one thing, but at these hearings, you are saying something which sounds contradictory, if not diametrically opposed, to some of the things you've said in speeches around the country?
I would tell them to look at my decisions for 17 years.
Yeah.
And note that in every one of them, I have done what I say that I so firmly believe in. I prove my fidelity to the law, the fact that I do not permit personal views, sympathies, or prejudices to influence the outcome of cases, rejecting the challenges of numerous plaintiffs with undisputably pathetic claims.
Well, that's exactly the, you know, what this whole thing is hinged on. Look at her rulings, and they know they just had no case there. Any of these guys know that anything you've said in any speech for how many years could be taken out of context.
Mm-hmm.
How about John Cornyn? Can you imagine if he was sitting there trying to be confirmed and someone said, you said homosexuals pose the biggest threat to American freedom today.
Right, yeah.
Would you like to further explain? You know what I mean? Like, what? And what was he going to say? He absolutely is on record as saying that.
Absolutely.
And furthermore, he's on record as sterilizing a woman without her consent, in which he was obviously in a lawsuit for. And it just, they have the nerve to like make it sound like one thing she said disqualifies her. 28 minutes after the
hour. You're in a state.
Pardon me?
You're in a state.
I'm in a bit of a state.
Yes.
28 minutes after the hour, back with more on the Sotomayor hearings on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
In this business, the price of success is very high, especially for a woman. I don't suppose I'm the only one who's had to her way to the top.
Or the middle, in this case. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Dave in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Dave.
Hello. Yes, I have the New York Times here from yesterday, Thursday, July 16th. The New Haven firefighters, including some plaintiffs in a case on which Judge Sonia Sotomayor ruled, attended the hearing. There's eight of these gentlemen on the front. I don't see one single black or Hispanic face there. Interesting.
Hmm.
Well, they Frank Ricci testified, and then the Hispanic guy that was also in the lawsuit was there as well. Hello.
And testified. Looks and
yes.
Testified.
Yes.
Yesterday.
Yeah, yeah,
yes.
Exactly.
Yesterday.
Yesterday.
Right, right.
Okay. All right. I'm not sure what we're talking about, but here's the audio of Frank Ricci, the New Haven firefighter yesterday.
Despite the important civil rights and constitutional claims we raised, the Court of Appeals panel disposed of our case in an unsigned, unpublished summary order that consisted of a single paragraph.
And by the way, I guess it was pointed out yesterday, four Supreme Court justices agreed with the Sonia Sotomayor and the majority of her panel.
That's right.
That they had to respect precedent in this case. That was all this was about. That's the problem. It had nothing to do with the issues involved, you know, that they're talking about, which, you know, I understand there can be debate about. Mm-hmm. Frank Ricci again yesterday.
Achievement is neither limited nor determined by one's race, but by one's skills, dedication, commitment, and character.
And all of that is irrelevant, because what she was doing was upholding precedent.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
She wasn't being activist enough.
Exactly.
Well, that's the thing. Like, all the rest of the week, it was, what are you going to let your feelings and your empathy and your... No, I'm going to respect the precedent and the law. It's like, well, what about this New Haven fire? I respect the precedent and the law. Oh.
Yeah, but...
Oh, well,
but... Oh, crap.
Yeah, Sean Hannity had them on last night, you know, a couple
Did
of the
he?
Firefighters, yes.
Uh-huh.
And they were crying about how they only got, you know, a one-paragraph ruling. They were whining. And, you know, of course, Sean Hannity was letting them.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's so against Sonia Sotomayor.
Well, it's just, this is the problem. It plays into the Pat Buchanan crowd.
Right.
That thinks, you know...
They were comparing him to Joe the Plumber. They were comparing Frank Ricci to Joe the Plumber.
Hmm. Okay, Senator Lindsey Graham.
Joel the, yeah. Joe the Dip, whatever that Meghan McCain called him.
Dip.
Oh,
Meghan McCain called him a dumbass.
That
I love
it.
That.
Yes.
That's
Joe the dumbass.
That's funny.
Joe the dumbass.
Yeah,
I'm liking Meghan McCain more and more.
I know.
She's the new face of the Republican Party.
She
well,
said,
if
Joe
she
the plumber,
is, then that's good.
Yeah. She said, Joe the Plumber, you can quote me as a dumbass. You should stick to plumbing.
Yeah.
I think it was right after he gave that interview, remember, where he said he complained about queers and said I wouldn't have them anywhere near my children.
She's becoming a big advocate for gay rights. She just did a big interview with Out Magazine.
Good for her.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, Senator Lindsey Graham, I think, Jim, we can all agree that the future of American jurisprudence rests on whether you bug the hell out of Lindsey Graham or not. That's the important thing.
You have said some things that just bug the hell out of me.
I regret that I have offended some people. I believe that my life demonstrates that that was not my intent, to leave the impression that some have taken from my words.
You know what, Judge? I agree with you. Good luck.
Aww.
What'd he say?
Good luck.
He bugs the hell out of me. He's so patronizing. Please, you don't have to apologize to that little panty waist, Judge.
I thought that was kind of nice of him at the end. He said, I agree. Good luck.
Never. Senator Lindsey Graham.
You're able, after all these years of being a judge, to embrace a right that you may not want for yourself. To allow others to do things that are not comfortable to you, but for the group. That's what makes you, to me, more acceptable as a judge. And not a activist.
Oh, he's so condescending in these hearings.
I swear to God. I think that was genuine.
He
genuinely likes her.
Yeah, I know.
I don't think so, Stephanie.
I like you, Judge. I like you. And then he reads a whole list of bad comments about her without reading any of the good comments and going, I think this is a time for reflection, Missy. Why don't you just sit in the corner and reflect on your temperament?
I think he was just doing his job.
Senator
being
Lindsey,
the loyal opposition.
Senator Lindsey Graham.
People now understand the role of the court in modern society when it comes to social change. That's why we fight so hard to put on the court people who see the world like us. That's true from the left, and that's true from the right.
I
don't see how you think that's patronizing.
No, he just was. He was patronizing.
I think he was being fair and middle of the road, and I think he's going to vote for Sonia Sotomayor.
Fair and balanced, actually.
I don't see it as patronizing at all.
He bugs the hell out of me.
Judge, to be honest with you, your record as a judge has not been radical by any means. It's, to me, left of center. But your speeches are disturbing, particularly to conservatives.
Which is, you know, conservatives do have problems with some of her speeches.
Yeah. I think they kind of admitted this was all sort of a dog and pony show.
Yeah, they did.
Jeff Sessions has pledged that she will get an up and down vote before the summer congressional recess. He said, I will not support, and I don't think anybody on the side will support a filibuster. I look forward to you getting that vote before we recess in August.
I think Jeff Sessions was taking the advice of Dennis Miller, that Dennis Miller had yesterday.
Yes, he was a slightly less angry little leprechaun yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah, save your powder for a real liberal.
Exactly. Sotomayor is not a real liberal, right. And the GOP is, shoving the Hispanic vote further and further away by opposing Sonia Sotomayor. Mm-hmm. I think they finally got the message on that.
And when he says powder, he means he is snorting cocaine.
During these hearings, we're going to do that crack cocaine thing that you and I have talked about before.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Good for you. Finally admitted it. Okay. Yes, he was high. Higher thing. As Candy Crowley was talking about earlier, one of the things that I think we can all agree on is it was like sort of a kind of mind-glazingly boring.
Some of it was, yes.
Some of the discussions and explanations of... What the hell is stare decisis?
Stare decisis.
Stare decisis. Wow. When after Sotomayor launched into one lengthy answer about...
Stare decisis. Stare decisis.
Mm-hmm. And incorporation, Graham reiterated his view that legal principles alone would not dictate a result. A view strikingly similar to President Obama's stance that a judge's heart would control at least 5% of all cases. So...
You come from a family chock-a-block of lawyers, and you've never heard the term stare decisis?
Stare decisis. It was not discussed at the dinner table.
No?
Okay. No.
Apparently not much was discussed at the dinner table.
Yeah.
Missed out on a lot.
Tracy in Columbus on Sotomayor. Hello.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hello.
I just happened to hear Laura Ingraham this morning.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I try not to torture myself. I never listened to her, but I was listening to her comments about the president's speech at the NAACP and also the Sotomayor hearings and how the Republicans weren't tough enough on her and they just dropped the ball and et cetera, et cetera. And
she felt it was possible to alienate more of the Hispanic population?
Yes, I think she thinks it actually is. But I really think that Laura Ingraham and Pat Buchanan and Sean Hannity, they will not be happy until there's a white man in the White House, because then all will be well in their world.
Yep, exactly. We'll be back to magically to 1950, where they're more comfortable. Exactly. Al in Georgia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Al.
Hey, can we agree that other than the judge, Al Franken did the best job this week?
I thought he actually did a really good job.
I really do. I mean, he was funny because I think he feels like he has to live up to that "I used to be a comedian" thing. But also, I think he and others did a really good job of just bursting this whole myth of the so-called activist judge. And, an activist judge, Stephanie, I've figured out over the years, is any judge that won't agree with me.
Yeah, exactly. They don't rule the way you want. When they wanted George Bush to be president, they really needed some activist judges, didn't they?
Do you want to hear the definition of stare decisis?
Yes, please.
It's from the Latin stare decisis et quieta non movere, to stand by and adhere to decisions and not disturb what is settled.
Yeah.
In other words,
exactly what I said.
Established law.
Yes.
Now, what is prima facie?
Precedent. Oh, come on. Let's make it all crazy. Jane in Kentucky, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on Jeff Sessions. Hello, Jane.
Hey, Steph. I'm telling you, Jim's wrong on this one. Sessions was so demeaning to her, counseling her like she didn't even know what she was doing.
Do you mean Lindsey Graham?
Lindsey Graham.
I thought so, too. I just thought his whole tone was so patronizing during these hearings.
Yeah, patronizing.
Like, I like you. Like, who cares if you like her?
Yeah, big whoop. But I think that Jim's missing this one.
That would be Chris. That would be Chris.
Oh,
yes.
The person consistently wrong on the show is Chris.
Yeah, I am really batting 1,000 today. But I don't think he gets it because he hasn't been patronized like a lot of women have.
Oh, well, I patronize him daily, but he still doesn't get it.
I really want to give you kudos to that.
Thank you.
Because, but I don't think he could pick up on it like a woman did when he was talking down
exactly.
to her.
Exactly. Just like Ruth Bader Ginsburg said, men don't understand what a 13-year-old girl feels being strip searched. That's exactly it. Men can't understand because they haven't been patronized like women have.
Right.
Like Jim calls me Jiggles almost every day. Do you know that? I have to bring him
patronized.
A pad for stand-up news. Did you know that, Jane?
Yeah. Hey, Jiggles, grab a pad and back that gorgeous butt in here.
You get away.
Don't act like you don't like it.
I'm not being patronizing. I'm being condescending. There's a difference.
All right.
I patronize
Chris,
you every day by smacking that spectacular ass.
Thank you. Chris, you be a sweet muffin now and push the right button to take us to commercial break, all right? It's a good boy. You just wear a tighter shirt next week.
Oh, oops. You broke the show.
44 minutes after the hour.
I can't get much tighter shirts, Miss Miller.
Listen, you wear a shirt that cuts off your air supply. I want it so tight. And by the way, my entrance. You screwed my entrance up again. All right.
Let's get one thing straight and we'll get along fine. My entrance. Lights first, then music, then the door, then the carpet. If a mistake is made, someone's head will roll. Would you like to guess whose?
Would you, Angel Muffin? 44 minutes after the hour, right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Unfreaking believable.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 49 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere as we continue. You know, before we go from the Sotomayor hearings to health care, I think we need a sorbet. And today's sorbet would be the lovely entertainment pleasure that is Glenn Beck.
Yes.
Screaming at the top of his lungs for a listener to get off his phone. The deeply crazy Glenn Beck.
Asking you a logical question.
I'm giving you a logical answer.
You don't have logic.
Highly illogical.
You're right.
Where's your logic? What would you do? I'm asking you, what would you do to change this healthcare system for the better?
Get off my phone!
Get off my phone!
Get off my phone, you little finhead! I don't care. You people don't care. I'm going to lose my mind today.
You better pick your head up and put it back on your shoulders because we're throwing all over the ground right now.
Oh, dear God. He is 10 kinds of crazy. Listener Ken in Cleveland with a delightful tribute to Glenn Beck. All right. Anastasia in San Diego, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Steph.
Hello.
Speaking of meltdowns, anyone see Pat Buchanan's total meltdown on Rachel Maddow last night?
Yes.
And
yes.
Her smackdown of him?
Yeah. That was a thing of beauty.
Oh, he pulled off the mask and showed his hood.
Yeah. He, wow. I know. It's like, is it us or is he getting crazier and more racist? I think this Hispanic Supreme Court justice has made him go over the edge.
I mean, he really showed who he was. His, like, teeny tiny little mind and just his sheer hatred for anybody who's not a white man.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was, wow, that was some stunning political advice, wasn't it? We just need to make more white people so the Hispanic vote doesn't matter.
He's been saying that for a while, though.
Okay, then.
Back when he was trying to, you know, put a concrete wall 18 feet high across the entire border.
Mm. Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's try to have
They have ladders in Mexico, you know.
Yes. If they build an 18-foot wall, they'll just get a 19-foot ladder. Yeah.
Oh, dear. They have construction there, too. They know how to build things like ladders. Okay, maybe we can have a more reasoned debate on healthcare than our friend Glenn Beck did. The healthcare debate, of course, heating up. Harry and Louise are back.
Yep.
This time they have switched sides. You remember the ads back during Bill Clinton's effort to revamp the medical system in the 90s. Back then, actors Louise Clark and Harry Johnson played the couple worrying about changes, and the ads were sponsored by the insurance industry, which was fighting Clinton's plan. Now they appear in the TV campaign supporting a reshaping of healthcare sponsored by Families USA. And the Pharmaceutical Research Manufacturers of America. The two groups, often at odds, have joined forces this year to support some general principles behind revamping healthcare, such as making it more affordable for low-income people.
Mm-hmm.
In this new ad, Harry says to Louise, it sounds simple enough. Louise says, a little more cooperation, a little less politics, and we can get the job done this time. The executive director of Families USA said the ads showing Harry and Louise's support for remaking healthcare shows how different the health reform debate is. In an interview, they say, by the way, the actors, they're both Democrats. They had supported Clinton and they supported Obama.
But they just needed the job before. Yeah.
course.
Yeah, they said that. Well, they said though they supported the idea of changing the health system. Actually, back in the 90s, they felt that Clinton's effort lacked sufficient cooperation among affected groups. They said those ads raised legitimate questions about the impact of the proposal then. Now Clark says she thinks it's time to overhaul the medical system and believes Obama can do it. So she is not a naysayer or cynic, of which you are both, Chris Lalloy.
I'm a pragmatist. I'm a realist.
Uh-huh. A trio of House committees...
Don't tax our soft drinks!
The sugary drink commercials have worked on Jim.
Yeah, they apparently made Jim a little crazy over there.
He wants to have a family and go to a lake now and have a sugary drink.
Get off my soft drinks!
Sorry, we're all going Glenn Beck on you this morning. A trio of House committees began work on the proposed overhaul of the health care system with the first rounds of amendments and committee votes. Nancy Pelosi said this week Congress has made huge and historic progress at the conference. She reiterated her support for an income surtax on the highest wage earners that would raise about $550 billion toward the bill. She said we have to have a revenue system to ensure the bill will be paid for. Nancy Pelosi...
We have to have a revenue stream to ensure that the bill will be paid for. If we don't need that money, we can use it to reduce the deficit.
Yep.
Okay.
Raising taxes right now, I just don't know.
On the top 1%, whatever, Nancy Pelosi.
I believe that all the cost of the health care reform bill can come from squeezing more savings out of the system.
Okay, well, Nancy, if you believe that, then why are you thinking about a tax increase? Well,
because she doesn't think that you can get all the money from that, obviously.
Well, she said
the remaining cost. After you do the surtax. Republicans, of course, have had a little involvement except to put in a lot of amendments that just are the screamy baby ones that are voiced their objections. One, of course, would eliminate the government-run insurance plan. They think that would just the one thing that 75% of Americans can agree on, that they want to be gone.
That's because they get a lot of money from the insurance company lobby.
Uh-huh. All right. By the way, our buddy, our pal, the very chuckly Steny Hoyer, House Majority Leader, sat down with a group of moderate Republicans to talk about health care. Nobody said amen. He said, I gave a good sermon, but there wasn't much I could say. One of the Republicans there said, it's commendable that he came, but there's not a single vote in there.
Yeah.
So God bless you, those of you still talking to Republicans. But
Well, you know what? Eventually, there are going to be more Republicans in Congress, and so they have to maintain a relationship with them. They can't be completely antagonistic.
I guess.
That's what the Republicans did to the Democrats.
Yeah, Chris Dodd, though, on health care in particular, look, we've gotten absolutely no help from them. Chris Dodd said it's more important to get a good bill than to get Republican votes. You know, I mean, it's just at this point, they're so obstructionist. Like, what's the point? Senator Max Baucus, however, because it always is a different problem in the Senate than in the House.
Yeah.
So, Max Baucus disagreed with Chris Dodd. He said a bipartisan bill is needed. He said nothing's 100%, but I think it's virtually impossible to get 60 votes on a partisan bill. He said he praised the health committee's work, but said that that's a partisan bill, Max Baucus.
With the tax exclusion off the table, it's still difficult to come up with revenue measures and other savings measures.
Rosie in Santa Fe, New Mexico, on the Harry and Louise ads. Hello, Rosie.
Hey, Steph and the Mooks. You know, it seems to me that there's another motivation for Harry and Louise to be for it now. I mean, they're 16 years older. Hello.
Yeah. Yeah, they actually need health care now.
Well, hello.
Yeah.
Thanks, you guys. That's all.
All right, honey. Thank you. I appreciate it. All right. Representative Jim Cooper, Democrat of Tennessee.
Yeah, he's one of those blue dog
Democrats.
Blue
dogs.
We haven't had time to get through the 1,000-page bill yet, but there are a lot of worrisome tax increases in there.
That would be one of the aforementioned blue dog Democrats that you feel are peeling away, Chris?
Yes.
All right. We will.
We need them.
We will get into that and much more with comedian John Fugelsang live in studio next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, it's gonna feel good.
the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Happy Friday. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice deity Jim Ward, me, Stephanie Miller. This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by Pontiac. The Pontiac summer closeout is here. Hurry to get the Pontiac you want before they're gone, like the 09 G6, the powerful G8, or the five-door Pontiac Vibe. Visit PontiacDealer.com. Take delivery by 7/31/09. See dealer for details.
The Vibe is a good car.
Ooh, indeed.
Yes, it is.
And the G8, good car, too, not the Summit. The
right.
Car. Fabulous. Okay. The Sonia Sotomayor hearings, of course, wrapped up yesterday. And the good news is the angry little leprechaun was less angry yesterday, Senator Jeff Sessions.
I don't think any member of this side will support a filibuster.
Yeah. Thank God. All right. As she speeds toward a confirmation. In the meantime, the health care debate, of course, heating up. And Sean Hannity, a wet blanket, just like you, Chris.
Democrats are not as close to ramming a health care bill through Congress as they think. Now, some of their own colleagues may derail the legislation, mostly because Speaker Nancy Pelosi has excluded centrist Democrats from the bill's drafting process.
Oh, right. We'll see how that all goes.
I don't think it's going to happen this year.
I disagree. I remain hopeful. I remain magically hopeful. All right. You can email us all at the StephanieMiller.com. We mentioned we had Linda Sanchez on yesterday. We sent her a bunch of baby crap from the Baby Gap.
Yeah.
We don't really know what it is because none of us have babies, so we don't really even know what babies like.
Right. Chainsaws.
We sent a chainsaw. We don't know. Okay. We were saying one of the ways you can tell you're not comfortable is when you call it a baby. We were
right.
Like, what does it eat or like or do? And I was saying I have a friend who has a friend in from town with a baby, and she says the same thing. She doesn't know what to do today. She's in a panic. She's like, what does it eat? What does it do? Lori writes, Steph, my friend had one. Babies.
Okay.
I had to go see it. She made me. So I go over. It's asleep. I try to think of something to say to pretend I was interested in it. So I said, well, how old are they before they start opening their eyes? Not realizing that only non-human babies have a delay in opening their eyes.
Oh, no.
Human babies have eyes that open right away. Oh, well, Lori, who is just as clueless as we are about what you do with the...
I don't know nothing about no babies.
You remember I bought something for our friend's baby? It was her birthday, and I had to ask the women there in the store. I said, my friend's baby is two. How big is it? What is it? Does it stand? Does it talk? What sort of size is it? You know.
Yes, they do stand. I know that much. The two-year-olds do stand.
Exactly. The women looked at me like I had like seven heads. They were like, are you a woman? I'm like, yes, I just don't. I don't.
Computer says, yeah.
I don't.
No, you don't breed.
I'm unacquainted with that whole thing. All right. Let's, it's Friday. I can almost, it's like I can feel fun at the door. What? Why, Chris, who is it?
It's John Fugelsang.
What? Oh, you wouldn't think I'd noticed you.
Well, good morning, my fellow non-breeders.
Yes.
You're a childless loser like we are.
Exactly right. I keep telling people, John and Kate and Octomom, these are the real breeders.
Yeah, but the ones they make it seem so unappealing that I've just decided not to.
Yeah, all my friends have kids, these little crib lizards running around, and, you know, it's awfully great.
I sympathize with Lori having to seem like you seem interested in, like, oh, it's cute, oh, goodness, look.
When you want something that requires constant attention, gives you conditional love, and blows you off, you have cats, you know?
Yeah, exactly. That's why I have a cat.
Oh, dear. All right.
Well, good morning.
Good morning, John Fugelsang.
It's lovely to be back with you. Where are my MOOCs at?
We're down a MOOC.
We're down a MOOC.
Right on.
Yeah.
Well, thank you
You're
for having
me. You're the replacement MOOC. We only have so many microphones here.
I'm thrilled to be a MOOC in training.
honorary MOOC.
Thanks for having me during the most boring news week of all time.
What's Starry Decisis?
Decisis.
Discuss.
Is Sotomayor, is it still going on? Are they still having hearings
for
the
done
custodial
now.
Staff
they
coming
might,
in to testify?
They might still be calling in witnesses, you know, but they only televised the firefighters yesterday as witnesses, and now they
the
have
empathy
some
ship
ones.
Has sailed. It's, she's going to be confirmed.
I would hope a wise Republican would avoid making all white senators look like morons while interrogating a wise Latina.
I would, too.
You called him a leprechaun?
An angry little leprechaun, Jeff Sessions was.
I see him more as the fawn from Narnia with those little pointy ears. Yes.
Yeah.
I'm like, don't talk to him, Sonia. Bad things will happen. The White Queen's watching you.
How, ironically hilarious was it? This is a guy that didn't become a judge himself because he's essentially a racist.
Yeah,
exactly.
Because of his comments about the KKK and NAACP, and he's questioning whether she's a racist.
Yeah, right? Back in 86. Yeah. I mean, if only they had approved him as a judge then, he wouldn't have the power to approve judges now.
Exactly. Ironically. But did you love, that was my favorite moment, there was this other Puerto Rican feller on your same panel that you disagreed with.
Why can't you behave like the good Hispanicals do? He's obedient. He reads the memo we get every morning from Rupert. Why can't you be like him?
How offensive was it that they kept bringing up Miquel Estrada?
Well, he's an Hispanical we can tolerate.
Exactly. But she has nothing in common with him once again. It was like, we like the Hispanic judges. What?
Yeah, we like plenty as long as they look. Well, that's, this is why I always say it isn't racism anymore. You know, we got to find a better word because racism has almost lost its power. It's tribalism.
Right.
These guys don't mind minorities as long as they look, dress, act, talk, and vote like them.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, that's what we were saying. The whole debate is about, you know, precedent and blah, blah, blah. It's like precedent to them. They mean, you know, we want you to be an activist on the issues that we want to see.
Exactly.
You know, like Roe v. Wade or what, you know, whatever.
Well, thank God the Democrats called him out on that. Ooh, wee.
Yeah, and then the hilarious thing, they have the firefighters yesterday, and we were saying the whole point of that is the Supreme Court just now is the one that was activist on that and overturned precedent.
Exactly. You said it earlier. She was just following precedent. She wasn't raising any flags on that. It was nothing new. That wasn't her putting her views forward.
Right.
Yeah, no, exactly.
And Lindsey Graham, oh my God. Oh. You know, people forget that Lindsey Graham was one of the original congressmen to prosecute Bill Clinton's impeachment.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
All those other guys that did that are all out of politics now, and they're all lobbyists and Mullen and Doe.
Right.
Lindsey got promoted. He was the one down in Carolina. They thought he did great. And he got promoted to senator for that. And he's going off. When does anyone stand up about his credibility?
Yeah.
When does
yeah.
he have to answer for the things he did?
Yeah. I just thought he couldn't. He just was so patronizing. The whole, like, reading the bad comments from the judicial review.
Yeah.
None of
only
the good
the
ones.
Ones.
And then, well, I think this is time for reflection, Missy. Why don't you just take time out and just reflect on your temperament?
And, you know, these Lindsey Graham, someday a paramedic's going to find a garter belt. You know what I mean? Like, these are the same people that are the ones who make folks with Southern accents seem dumb. Like, these are the guys giving Southern accents a bad name.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he was a creepy little, you know, Mr. Rogers. Just, I like you. Like, but how is that relevant? Who cares?
Yeah, I mean, put on your sweater and change your sneakers while you're doing it.
Right.
But, you know, it's all just a show. It was all just such a theater. When I want to watch a bunch of ridiculous characters talking nonsense and doing nothing, I've got True Blood, you know, on HBO.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing happens there either. And these guys were all just doing a show to show the racists back home that they're still on the right team. Like,
yeah.
I thought all the Republicans by the end of the week are just running for re-election.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't see anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And paying lip service to abortion and Republicans, right to lifers, I know you listen, quit the Republican Party and join the Right to Life Party, because the Republican Party will never allow abortion to be illegal.
Yep.
And it's the greatest fundraising tool they have.
Yep, yep, absolutely. We hate to interrupt you, John, but it's time for another episode of Chris is Wrong,
what?
As usual.
Huh?
Julie in Seattle with the official Chris is Wrong call of the morning. Hi, Julie.
Hi. I'd like to put it actually in a more charitable way.
Oh.
Chris is just misinformed.
Oh, am I? Okay.
I'm afraid so.
Perhaps he needs to take time out to contemplate his temper. Since this is a time for reflection.
Don't be condescending, Missy.
Oh, screw you, Muffin.
That's what I was doing while I waited to tell him about this.
Okay.
There's actually 38 senators, Democrats, who definitely support the private option. There's another
public
nine,
option, you mean?
Yes, and there's another. I'm drunk, as I told.
That's right. Good for you.
There's another nine that have made stronger noises about being opposed to a public option and meaningful reform,
mm-hmm.
but no one has said, I will be the last man to die with the Republicans to oppose my party's major agenda item.
Right.
Only Mary Landrieu and Joe Lieberman are being truly obstinate. There's been others that, such as Kay Hagan down mm-hmm. in North Carolina, who was just beaten down so hard by people calling her office that she went home over the break and recanted. So did my senator to a degree, Maria Cantwell.
You know what? I bet my sister was was one of those, because she held a fundraiser at her house for Kay Hagan, and my sister is a human irritant. I bet she single-handedly got Kay Hagan to change her mind.
She couldn't take another word. But this is a sausage-making process, and people are paying a lot more attention to it, I think, than they ordinarily do on the bills. And what these Democrats are doing is trying to give credit to their contributors and trying to shape the bill in a way that will be more favorable to the people that fund them. But in the end, they need the money to run for re-election.
They do.
If everyone in their district has made it clear to them that they will vote for Adolf Hitler before they will vote for them, which is the tenor of the calls that are coming in day and night to these people. In fact, the Washington lines are so busy that you really can't get through. There's so many groups that are sending out alerts to call. There's ads being run by Move On and a zillion other PACs against Landrieu and these other people. But if you, there's actually several places online you can go, but Talking Points memo has a list that they keep updated of where people stand. And I just don't see it. None of these people are big, courageous leaders of the Democratic Party. They're the kind of people who hang back and in the end vote for what the party puts up there. Yeah. And I don't think the only one, and in Lieberman's case, he absolutely can't go against the president because he's the president's bitch, right?
Well, now he is. He has to be.
And but, so he can say those things.
Right. But Julie, we're having a big problem in the House with Blue Dog Democrats peeling away, and you also have to have the votes in the House.
They passed the House bill. Really, the final product isn't going to be in
they
the
haven't,
hands.
No, the only thing that's passed is a bill in the Senate Committee on Health.
Right.
Nothing has passed the House yet. They had to reintroduce a new bill to try and get more momentum going.
But that's known to be, the health bill is known to be the one that the president supports. Really, finance's role, where most of these people have been doing their dirty work, is to figure out how to fund it.
Exactly. Yep.
And
that's the big bugaboo.
Behind the scenes, what we don't see is that the president really just now started putting his personal credit and persuasive powers and threatening powers of the administration into getting these people in line. He wasn't going to stand out there and stake his entire program on a bill that didn't exist yet, because that would go down in flames. He's letting them all fight it out. When they get something finally shaped up, they will knock heads together and threaten people's lives and
so your point is,
their children.
Your point is, as usual, the president is saying, chill out, mother. I got this.
Well, I keep waiting for that point to come.
The point is, Chris was wrong.
I think the two points we come away with is Chris was wrong, and you want to take my fruit drinks from me, don't you?
Oh, I want to tax your box wine to pay for this.
All right. But, thank you, Julie. That's my point.
Box wine is actually taxed quite a bit.
They're not talking about coming for that juice drink, are they?
Yeah, one giant juice box.
I will flip-flop like nobody's business.
We should just get a nationwide referendum for the people to vote that any congressman against a public option has to give up theirs.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. Von Thiel in Asheville, North Carolina, on the subject of babies, of which we all know nothing. Hello, Von Thiel.
Good morning. I just want to remind you, when you're in these fits of we don't know nothing about babies.
We don't know nothing about no stinking babies.
That's right. That you, without you all, I could never have gotten Fuller Baudouin through high school with honors.
That's true. We are part of the village raising Fuller, but it's fine when I just raise her from inside the radio. If I don't actually have to see her, that helps.
Well, you know, the longer the show goes on, the longer I listen, the more I realize the wisdom of that statement.
I'm kind of a hands-off parent in the sense that...
But nonetheless, your influence is far and wide in this household, and we truly, truly appreciate it.
Well...
And so stop with the self-flagellation on the baby thing, okay?
You're welcome, but thank God I didn't have to have her touch her when she was a baby or see her.
No, but what about now that she's 18? Can I send her out?
She is less sullen and remorseful, though.
Computer says no.
We don't need your sullen, resentful teen around here.
She's less sullen now.
We have Jim.
Yeah.
Thank you. 20 minutes after the hour, right back with more on the healthcare debate with comedian John Fugelsang as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
So, who is responsible for these outrages?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere.
Huh?
Chris in Oakland on babies. Hello, Chris.
Stephanie, I know what babies. My wife just had twins on the 4th of July.
Oh, congratulations.
How American of you. You are doubly patriotic.
So anyway, I know what they like.
What is it?
Well, Jenna likes 110-amp powered wire feed welders.
Oh,
really?
No.
Okay, I'm writing that down. Uh-huh.
And her brother, Casey, he's really into Jacques Cousteau commemorative watches from Switzerland.
Okay, writing that down. Good baby gift.
With actual inserts from the hull of the Calypso on the backing plate.
So all right.
What they're digging.
All right. Thank you, Chris, for those baby buying, gift buying tips.
Things they can put in their mouth is what they like.
Yes, exactly.
My keys.
Here's what, for some reason, we understand that they like, and that is
Stephanie Miller
and fart jokes. And this is for your twins born on the 4th of July. Okay. Okay. All right, and now some highbrow humor with comedian John Fugelsang.
You've got some splaining to do.
Yeah, how about Tom Coburn whipping out his Ricky Ricardo impression?
Coburn. Well, around my house, we play a little game called Racist or Douche, where we try to determine is someone, you know, really a hardcore genocidal racist or just a douche. And I gotta say, Tom Coburn was guilty more of just the baggery. You know?
Of the baggery.
It was the baggery. He was just being douchey. That wasn't real. Now Jeff Beauregard Sessions, he's racist.
The third.
Jeff Beauregard says he's so southern he married himself. He's a racist, and we can say he's a racist because he has a record to stand on.
Yeah.
But Tom Coburn just do, you know, like Tom the Dog the Bounty Hunter, racist. Michael Richards, probably just douche. You know?
Exactly.
So
it's a good game.
I give Tom a pass on that one.
Debbie in Michigan on the healthcare debate. Hey, Deb.
Hey, Stephanie, just had a thought. If our lawmakers could only have insurance equal to the worst insurance that the constituents have, do you think we'd be having this debate?
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, it's the simplest point you just made it, John, and yet the best one.
I think we should actually lower the Medicare age to 10 minutes old. And once you're 10 minutes, you're eligible for Medicare. And that way everyone's covered.
There
but you
go.
Still have that little 10 minutes for Republicans to stand over babies and go, bootstraps, bootstraps. Everyone's happy.
We arrived at a point in every debate like we do in America where we have come to the question, what does the boner think? That's our game show.
That would be Representative John Boehner of Ohio.
When you look at what my Democrat friends are offering on health care, you've got to watch what they do and not listen to what they say.
As opposed to us, because we don't do anything.
Yeah, because we're coming for your sugary drinks, my friends.
John Boehner.
Have you seen that ad?
Yes, I have.
Not the fruit drinks.
John Boehner has now tanned himself out of the color spectrum.
Yeah.
28 minutes after the hour, back with
Beyond
John Fugelsang. As we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You're like my mommy after a box of wine.
I'm everybody's mommy after a box of wine.
Uh-huh.
It is the...
Yeah, you like the little children, don't you?
Stephanie
Miller. The little neighborhood children.
33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Jane in Oakland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on the lovely and talented Glenn Beck. Hello, Jane.
Hi there, group. Hey, I wanted to give you a quick follow-up. I deliberately, I couldn't believe this myself, but I looked up Glenn Beck the time, and I wanted to catch his show right at the beginning to see if he had an explanation. And he came on, and after a couple of innocuous words, he says, "Oh, please, excuse my voice. My daughter has a cold. She coughed on me," end quote. And I just fell off the floor.
Yeah, not because of his screaming. In case you haven't heard the audio yet, have you heard this, John? Yeah, let's.
And we are the only country in the world where leaders come
from every other country to get health care when they can't get the right kind of health care in their own country. We have presidents. We have prime ministers. We have speakers of the parliament in Australia that can't get the prostate treatments and have to come to this country to get it.
And Glenn offers...
Get off my phone! Get off my phone, you little pinhead! You people don't care about the trillions. Get off my phone! I'm going to lose my mind today.
Going to?
There is a heavy metal remix of that. That's Huffington Post. Huffington Post took a break from covering what Levi Johnston thinks about the economy.
Yes.
To put up a thing with them. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Well, listener Ken in Cleveland has done a Stones one for us.
It's deeply crazy, Glenn Beck.
Super Tramp,
Stephanie. I'm asking you a logical question.
I'm giving you a logical answer.
You don't have logic.
Highly illogical.
You're right.
Where's your logic? What would you do? I'm asking you, what would you do to change this health care system for the better?
Get off my phone! Get off my phone! Get off my phone! Get off my phone, you little finhead! Get off my phone! I don't care! You people don't care! I'm gonna lose my mind today!
You better pick your head up and put it back on your shoulders because we're throwing all over the ground right now.
Get off my phone! Oh dear God. He is 10 kinds of crazy.
Get off my phone!
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear.
I hate when he calls intelligent Americans you people. You know, it's just so unnecessary.
That's, wow. He and O'Reilly just trying to out-crazy each other.
Oh, the two of them. It's like watching Keith Olbermann and Rachel try to out-long sentence each other.
I wonder what Glenn Beck's advertisers think about Beck talking to their potential customers that way.
Hmm. He'll know. Not very persuasive, is it, as a sales technique?
No, it's not.
Let's go to Derek in Los Angeles on Senator Sessions. Hello, Derek.
Hello. I cannot believe the hypocrisy, how racist Sessions is. Listen, the only two black things that man will ever sit across from are a pepper shaker and a cup of coffee.
Okay. Thank you.
It's true. The only time they ever talk to a Latina woman is to say, you don't have any silverware, right?
I mean, yeah,
and his whole record you were talking about before, but he was named the fifth most conservative U.S. senator by the National Journal.
Yeah,
and his whole history has been back when he was up for the judgeship when he talked about a white colleague who represented a black client and called him a traitor to his race.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
He gets to be a senator.
Yeah, he called an attorney that worked with him boy.
Yeah,
a black.
And he
man.
Called the NAACP un-American. You know what? You know you're dealing with a fascist when they say un-American because nothing's more un-American than that term. You'll never hear someone say that's very un-Belgian of you. You know, Jorge, you're being very un-Mexican.
Exactly. But, by the way, speaking of the NAACP, did you see the president's speech?
Another barn burner. I did. Mercy. Wow, what a speech it was.
Yeah.
He didn't mention how he's defending Cheney, though. I was, every time I want to be mad at Obama, he'll turn around and do something like that speech, because I spent all day disgusted at him for protecting Cheney. I don't get it. I haven't seen a black man cover for an unworthy white man like that since Kevin Eubanks and Leno. He's protecting Cheney, but then he goes and gives this gorgeous, beautiful, anti-homophobia speech to the NAACP.
Yep. He said that the NAACP and the sacrifice of others began the journey that led me here. But, I also like that he also challenges audiences.
Yes.
I mean, he challenged them, in those in the room and beyond to take greater responsibility for their own future. He told parents to take a more active role. And residents to pay better attention to their schools. I love this part. He said, we have to say to our children, yes, if you're African-American, the odds of growing up amid crime and gangs are higher. Yes, if you live in a poor neighborhood, you'll face challenges that someone in a wealthy suburb does not. But that's not a reason to get bad grades. That's not a reason to cut class. That's not a reason to give up your education, drop out of school. No one has written your destiny for you. Your destiny is in your hands, and don't you forget that. And I thought it was just, you're right, Obama at his best, just inspirational.
I know. Mm-hmm. How's Fox going to be negative about that? What are they going to do? He used a teleprompter for the speech. Meanwhile, they're mad because they can't spell NAACP.
Yeah.
How many A's again?
By the way, is it just me or does Nancy Grace on air use the same lighting as nighttime shuttle launches?
I think there is an eerie similarity. Let's go to Kevin in D.C. on the Sotomayor hearings. Hello, Kev.
Hey. Hi. I'd like to speak to the guest who has such a great, complete contempt for mindless, like the people grilling Sonny Meliar. But I'd like to ask you, do you think that it's premature for me to think that they're over? With all the meltdowns you just
the GOP,
played,
you mean?
Yeah, the Glenn Dreck meltdown. Mm. Well, there's one every day. I was going to name a list of them, but I'd be here all day. So,
yeah.
Do you think it's premature to think that Karl Rove's permanent majority he babbled about will actually be a permanent minority because of this foolishness?
Yeah, I think perhaps.
I do think it's premature, to tell you the truth. I mean, on the one hand, I don't know why these gentlemen were so upset. They are getting a Supreme Court justice who's so much more conservative than the one they're losing. You know, that's William Brennan's old seat. Then you got Souter, who was half as liberal as Brennan.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And now you've got Sotomayor, who's half as liberal as Souter. So they're getting what they want. The court's moving to the right.
Right.
I know.
But your caller is correct. I hear a lot of my progressive friends all dancing on the graves of the GOP, and it's very premature. We're still a long way from the midterm.
Absolutely.
Election.
Somebody was just talking about that in the, with the midterms, that you know, we're going to have to be careful. It's not a slam dunk by any means, unfortunately.
I think the GOP might be winning some people over with this whole healthcare fight.
Absolutely.
Speaking
and it's always,
of Karl Rove's majority, what does Karl Rove think about healthcare? Why? He's doing some more fear-mongering on it on the Hannity show last night.
When the American people learn that this is a $1 trillion government takeover of their health care system, that they're not going to be forced into a government-run health care program that's going to cost enormous sums of money, and as the CBO said declaratively today, is not going to do what the administration claims it's going to do, and that is reduce health care costs and reduce the long-term structural deficits. American people are going to, they're hearing about it, and they're learning about it, and the more they learn about it, the less they like this, and the more the president's numbers go down, and the more the numbers for his proposal go down. And that's why you're seeing Democrats now start to scurry away from it. It's very hard to go back home and say, I'm voting for a program that's going to cost $1 trillion over the next 10 years and won't work. Well, and it's going to take away your right to pick your doctor and your hospital.
Oh,
you can smell the sulfur. You know,
yeah.
Smell
that's completely untrue. Yeah, A, the thing you
lies.
Just said. B, you know, and again, I think Candy Crowley was telling this earlier. President's ratings have gone down to, what, 60-something instead of... I mean, it's just... that's
course,
the fear-mongering they're trying to do. They just want to win politically. They don't actually want health care reform for the American
people.
Not at
all. They don't want it at all. And this is why Carl can say those things, because Bush fulfilled all of his health care promises he ran on in 2000. And the whole time you watch Hannity gazing on him adoringly like Fred Flintstone seeing Wilma for the first time.
But when she was Wilma Slaghoople.
Yeah, and hello, and it's he and his friend George Bush, the left has a $1.3 trillion deficit, as Obama said yesterday, and now they're screaming about the deficit.
These
guys
are not allowed to ever complain. These guys spend money like Amy Winehouse in Amsterdam. They don't get to ever complain about Obama's spending ever. And Dick Cheney was the one who said, Reagan proved you can run and win on deficits. So, you know, they're done. These guys are not conservatives. They stopped being conservative when they began rewarding failure.
Yep. The president said yesterday there is no free lunch on health care. He said the country cannot afford to postpone dealing with the health care problem. He said, I think the best way to fund it is for people like myself who've been very lucky to pay a little bit more. And that's the problem, is the Republicans just, any tax on the rich of any kind, you know. And a lot of it, somebody was saying yesterday, it's really just repealing George Bush's tax breaks for the rich.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even like, you know.
Yeah, it's not raising your taxes. It's going back to the Clinton-era tax code. But that's why you're going to have your convicts going into your public schools now, because we can't tax the rich in California.
Yep.
You know, tax the rich, folks. I know they've had it really tough for the past 8 years, but in 20 years, they're not going to care. They're still going to be richer than you.
Yep. All right. 42 minutes after the hour, back with our final Friday free-for-all with comedian John Fugelsang.
Word.
That's a lot of F-words. As we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Who are those freaks?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 47 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number toll free from anywhere. By the way, we are joined live in studio by John Fugelsang, comedian extraordinaire. If you want to find out all things John Fugelsang, what might one do?
Just follow me on Facebook and Twitter until I get the damn website up back up again.
There you are. Oh, and by the way, I forgot to mention my media whoring. I will be on The Ed Show today on MSNBC at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, and then I will be on CNBC at 5:30 Pacific, 8:30 Eastern.
You don't have to go across town for those appearances, do you?
No.
Can't you just sit in the same studio?
No, so I have to go, you know, they are in different places, but not that far.
I'm thrilled you're on CNBC because I've always wanted to see you do a porn documentary, and it seems like the right time. I worked at CNBC, if you don't know, that's the Caucasian News and Business Channel,
yes.
And I did two series there. I spent a year there. 1 month, and no, I actually worked there for a full year, and they
Me
need
too.
You. They need you.
Oh, thank you. I don't even know what I normally, as you know, Chris, have no idea what I'm talking about when
right.
I go on CNBC. I don't know why they keep inviting me.
Yeah, it's they keep asking you about issues, business things.
Yes, that I have no idea about. So
well,
I just
neither do they.
Clearly, I know more than they do
the
about the market.
The tragedy is they began as a watchdog for Wall Street, and then they realized, oh, if we criticize the CEOs, we can't get access for interviews.
Right.
So they became the cheerleaders, and Jim Cramer now weeps.
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
Now, Stephanie did time on CNBC with Baby Cannon.
Yes, I did 1 year hard time.
Uh-huh.
Co-host Ingle Time with...
I did a year with McEnroe.
Oh.
So, top that.
Okay, you win.
Yeah.
You win. Brian in Niagara Falls, slowly I turned.
Hey.
Hello, Brian.
Hey. How you doing, hot stuff?
Good.
You're way too hot for radio.
Oh.
Damn,
I saw your
it's
picture
true.
A couple days. Holy
Why?
Cow, what are you doing on radio?
Listen,
can I have a favor? Can
yes.
I have your official Lackawanna, Cheektowaga, Tanawanda visiting, beef on a weck eating, peach market, beer mug stealing Canadian?
Yahoo! You, now Wait. You're talking my hometown language.
I know where you're talking from.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice. I just wanted to say America, hello, and welcome to socialized medicine. We've had it all our lives. Our conservatives support it in this country.
Mm-hmm.
They
yep.
fund it, and they encourage it. It's not perfect. We have wait time issues, but they're not 5 years for knee surgery like Rush squeals about. My son had surgery last year, had a diagnosed with a hip issue on a Friday. Tuesday morning, he was in for surgery.
Wow. And by the way, thank you for wedging in a boot.
Yes. Love hearing that. A boot.
It's right. A great radio show.
Thank
you. I might be considered a conservative. I listen to you every morning. It's
thank
great.
You, baby. I appreciate
right
it.
Right on.
All
Yay.
Right.
You know, it just comes down to, like anytime someone tells you socialized medicine, which is what Jesus gave out, by the way. He
yes.
never charged for health care. Just say, can you name me one country that has dropped that system?
Yeah,
one country
I know.
Said, oh, we hate the social. We're going to go back to what America does.
Yeah.
No one's done it.
Yeah, I know. That's what I mean. It is all fear-mongering based on the fact that nobody has ever been to those countries that they're talking to
right.
that has any actual, you know, we've had stories all week, our listeners. I broke my head in a, what was it this morning? A field hockey accident.
Yes.
Tonight. I was treated in 4 minutes and it cost a dollar.
In New Zealand.
In New
yeah.
Zealand, yeah.
Yeah. What does the Pope have? I mean, he just broke his wrist
he
this
broke
week.
Broke his wrist.
So we need one more limp-wristed homophobe.
Oh,
no!
Come on now.
Oh, with his red Gucci slippers. Come on
oh,
now.
Oh, now. Come on.
He's
on.
So gay I came out to my parents. That's how it is, you know. That's the Catholic Church has a long history of self-loathing gay homophobes, going back arguably to St. Paul, who may have been the first.
Oh, you think?
Yeah.
And what do you base
letters.
This on?
Well, if you John Shelby Spong's an Episcopal bishop who writes amazing books like Rescuing the Bible from Fundamentalism, and I did Bill Maher with him once, and I was a big fan of his, and he said, oh, clearly Paul was gay, which took me by surprise, but he said if you go back and read the letters of St. Paul, how one man could be so accepting and forgiving and loving of all sinners, yet so disgusted by the unholy urges of his own sinful flesh. It's the only possible explanation for this guy in first century Holy Land to be so ashamed of his sexuality.
Yeah.
It makes perfect sense.
Yeah. Interesting.
And then,
that does.
And through history, it's not the gay priests that are causing the problems. The gay priests, folks, have boyfriends. It's the straight priests trying to be celibate, which was made up in the 1100s by Pope Innocent, not because Jesus was single, not because sex was bad, but because the church wanted to keep the land that popes and priests were leaving to their children. It was all greed way before Da Vinci Code.
Yeah.
You cannot be a Christian and be a homophobe. They don't work.
Yeah, exactly.
It's
right.
impossible
exactly.
to follow Christ and be a homophobe.
Well, it's, you know, I thought one of the most fascinating Newsweeks I read was the religious case for gay marriage. I mean, they made a really good case quoting a lot of scripture, you know,
mm-hmm.
that the Bible obviously much more inclusive than exclusive, and you know, they make really good points.
And again, the parts that say that same-sex relationships are wrong, no one follows the rest of the teachings. Leviticus, you shall not lie with a man as with a woman, that's an abomination, says
mm-hmm.
nothing about one guy on all fours, one guy on his knees, one guy playing lookout in a men's room stall while Larry Craig taps his toes.
Yeah.
It's always that.
Yeah.
But if you want to believe that part of Leviticus, you have to follow all their laws. So you have to give death to children who are gluttons or drunks. Bye-bye, Bush twins.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Death to anyone who commits adultery.
Yeah.
Okay,
goodbye, Republican Party. Yeah.
And adultery includes divorce and remarriage. So if you really passionately believe the part of the Bible that says being gay is wrong, you owe it to God to kill Rush Limbaugh 3 times.
Yeah! Woo!
The Stephanie Miller Show does not advocate the killing of Rush Limbaugh.
Nor
like
hell we don't.
We're
no,
just
no,
saying.
We don't. But I'm just, can I
John
get an amen?
Was saying is funny. All right. The Michael Jackson circus does not seem to really have subsided. There's a new story every day. Debbie Rowe's trying to get the kids.
Debbie Rowe. Oh, you know, I didn't feel sorry for Debbie Rowe not being invited to the funeral until I heard the turkey baster got a +1.
Oh,
really
John.
Very insulting.
I don't think that that's true.
It's going to be going on for a long, long time. And the first song has been leaked out now. He did a bastardized cover of Force With No Name that they've begun to leak out. But he apparently has 100 unpublished songs for a little blanket to live off of because he wanted to make sure his children would never have to get jobs because he's a good father. And that was his old plan. Very sad. How do you feel about the fact that you're paying for the funeral?
I know. Like we have the extra scratch here in L.A., for God's sakes.
I'm not happy. The family should pay for it. The family has a whole lot of money. They need to pay for it.
Yeah. It's. Speaking of money, so the stimulus money, our friend Rick Perry, have they seceded from the union yet?
Texas?
No?
No.
First, he rejects the stimulus money because he's so moral, and then he goes and asks Obama this week for $100 million, and it's like my high school prom date. He's like, give me your stimulus. I don't want your stimulus. Give me your stimulus. I don't want your stimulus. Give me some stimulus. Keep it away.
Let's go to Charles in Norfolk, Virginia, on Glenn
Norfolk.
Beck. Hey, Charles.
Hey. I think that the Republicans are arguing the wrong point. That I keep hearing them argue about that we have the best health care system in the world and why are all these countries coming over here to get health care. It's not that the argument is that we have the best. It's that do we have the best access to the health care is the question that should be asked to them. And
well, you know, Charles, somebody made the point earlier. I think it's true. It's like even trying to make that point, you're saying people that are already millionaires.
Yeah.
Can get good health care here. It's like, yes, that's our point.
Yeah. If John Ensign's parents could write two $12,000 checks to every child in America.
Why can't they do that? Why not?
They could fund health care. Even Bush never asked his daddy to hush up a mistress.
Yeah. That was pathetic.
Wow. Matt in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, Stephanie, it's been a long time since I've gotten a chance to talk to you. I just wanted to let you know that there's a rumor circulating around the Internet that there is an average guy in Illinois who wants to debate Glenn Beck. But when he called over to Glenn Beck's studio to see how possible it would be to debate him, they told him that they want him to pay a public appearance fee for him to show up.
For the opportunity to get screamed at by Glenn Beck, that sounds fun. Dan in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, Steph. How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
It's the storm-chasing chauffeur of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yes.
Two quick, serious questions. How much does it actually cost a person to have Medicare and Medicaid? And also, if you have Medicaid or Medicare, aren't you allowed to still choose your own doctor?
I believe that you are.
Yes, you are.
Yeah. I mean, again, that's like they keep screaming about how this won't work. It is working, as we keep saying. Medicare, Medicaid, VA hospitals. I mean, you know, as you've mentioned many times, the senators and congressmen's own plan. They're on a government plan.
Yeah, they're all liars, and we have to use the word liar a lot more.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, we should. We need to.
Lisa in Los Angeles, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, I just want to make sure you know about Babe Buchanan was just on MSNBC confirming that the Republican Party is the party of white people.
Oh, good.
She was discussing Sotomayor's record of defending the rights of minorities and women all through her career, and the Republican Party does not stand for that. We stand for the rights of white people. Mm-hmm. She literally...
Wow. Oh, wake up, white people.
Up
Babe
at
Buchanan.
The Buchanans this week.
Wow.
Oh,
God. Woo.
They should be arrested for exposing themselves.
John Fugel's saying you can keep up with him on the Facebook.
Yeah, and Twitter.
And the Twitter.
I like to stay at home alone and socialize.
All right. That's it for us. We will see you Monday on the Stephanie Miller Show.